back on the farm.
Come on in and set a spell, neighbors. Here's that lovable First Lady of the Ozarks, May Kennedy McCord. Good morning, May.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, and thank you. Good morning, friends. How are you this morning? Spring has sprung, hasn't she? Well, that's what all the papers are saying, and that's what the weather's saying out this morning. Kind of sharp, but my, it's spring. And the spring poetry's busting out all over. There's one poet in this man's Ozarks who writes about spring and summer and fall and the rocks and rills and the wooded hills whenever he feels like it. George Nicholas Rees at Nixie. George writes about whatever strikes him, and he's among the truly fine poets of this region, the lyric poets. And he has been for some years. He said, May, this was written tonight for you and for all true poets. I guess spring certainly has hit George, too. The title is The Restless Muse. Now, that ain't a moose. That's a M-U-S-E, muse. That's the goddess who flits around about you and inspires you to write poetry. Well, I will sing of the things I want to write, of the earth, the sky, and the sea, of an eagle sweeping the mountain height, of an owl in a hollow tree. I shall seek to sing of a wondrous thing wherever it chanced to be. Whenever you hear the plaintive note of a whippoorwill at eve, or the eerie wail of a wild coyote, or the wind where the willows weave, you have heard my voice, and you could rejoice in hearing if you would believe. I dance in the rain, I run with the sun, and I laugh with the babbling brook. I shall never know when my song is done or what is the end of the book. I will find a berth on the planet Earth. Beyond, it is vain to look. Thank you, George. That's what I think. It's vain to look beyond. Your lyric lines sing like the spring thrush. You're a true poet. George has a wonderful iris garden at Nixie. And when the iris bloom, it'll pay you to go and see it some Sunday. It's southwest of Nixie a little and is known as Rocket Iris Garden. Some of the most beautiful iris in all the world are in that garden in iris time. All of the new and beautiful varieties. George lives there with his dear mother, and he's a bachelor, ladies. Take notice, he's a bachelor. He also writes for a great many garden magazines, and his garden verses have been published almost worldwide. George was once made poet laureate of the Ozarks, back when they selected one each 2 years. Mary Elizabeth Mankey, the beloved Mary, long gone from us now. She was the first poet laureate of the Ozarks. Carl B. Icke was poet laureate at one time. I believe Carl was the first one, come to think of it. And Gertrude Gideon Williams of Springfield, Rural Route, was poet laureate 1 year. Oh, there were several of them. I had the privilege of being one of the judges who awarded the honor for some years. I don't know who's poet laureate now. I can't think, but I do know the real poets of this. I don't know the real poets of the Ozarks, and they're gifted, many of them. Rosa Marinoni and Edsel Ford, both of Arkansas, and Hazel Haven at Rolla. And the young man at Joplin, why, Kent, who wrote Grandfather Gray, he was poet laureate 1 year. What's the matter with me? I can't remember his name. Couldn't be getting old, could I? Hazel Haven stands close to the top of the list for me at Rolla. Her poetry's beautiful. There are about 15 very unusual poets in the Missouri and Arkansas Ozarks, and I do wish I had time to name all of them and to tell you a little of what I know about them. We have as fine a poets in this region as anywhere in America, and we ought to have a region now named for us. You see, the country is divided off into regional poets, the East and the West and all this, that, and the other. The different sections have different names, but we don't have a region. I had a fine letter from Pearl DeHaven of the indoor sports, the shut-in club, you know, and she said that 10-year-old Darrell Foster had received such a world of mail and several gifts, and the boy was just living in the seventh heaven. He's the boy, you know, that I told you to write to. I'm so thankful to those people who responded to our call for letters, cards, and everything. Here's a box here this morning when I got to the station of something. And anything to Darrell Foster, the little shut-in boy with muscular dystrophy. Don't let him down now after we've got him up on the moon with the other astronauts. Let's keep writing to him. I had a cute little letter written by his own hand. He said he did wish he could answer all of them, but I expect it's pretty tiring for him to write. And he wanted me to thank all the good people for him over the air who had written. The dystrophy, you know, this muscular dystrophy, in other words, it's atrophy. It's a paralysis of the muscles. I don't think it's in Darrell's hands now, and maybe this great laboratory they have working on the disease in Chicago, where the light never goes out day or night, they're working so hard. Maybe by the time Darrell is a young man, they'll have a cure for him. No doubt they will. Our dear friend Viola Wooten, whom so many of you have been so kind to also, you know, I tell you a lot about Viola. She took the disease when she was a young and beautiful girl. My, she was pretty. She's pretty now. I wish there could have been something found out then. Indeed, I do. Oh, yes, Darrell's address. Now, remember, and address it to him if you can. It's quicker. 750 South Pickwick, Springfield. 750 South Pickwick. Or send them to me at the station KWTO. Of course, it's quicker for them to go direct and not have to be forwarded. But if you forget, just send in care of Mae McCord, station KWTO. Or you can say just Mae McCord, North Jefferson, or just Mae McCord. You don't have to have my name. People say, I don't know your mailing address. I don't know your full name. I don't know. Just, I have got lots of letters just said Mae, Springfield. If you put Mae McCord, Springfield, Missouri, I'll certainly get it. I do hope I didn't forget to say happy birthday to Mrs. Annie Brazil at, it's Elkhead, Missouri, on St. Patrick's Day, March the 17th, for she was 95 that day. I think I said it, but I think I said Elkland, but on closer notice, I see that it's Elkhead. I've never heard of that town, but Mrs. Brown of Sparta wrote it to me, and here it is, plain, Elkhead. Mr. Babb, Professor Babb of South Jefferson, who wanted to know how to play the old game of fox and geese with white and yellow corn. You remember I asked for it on the air? Well, he got a grand response, too. I think about 8 or 10 wrote me, and I sent them all. And several wrote him, and I have a letter here this morning now from a woman. Her father laid it out for him, you know. She said, it's J.H. Wood, Kabul, Missouri. She's Mrs. J.H. Wood, I guess. She said her father's 89. Well, I'll tell you more about those people. I'll give their names and where they're from next broadcast. And thank them so much. People do respond, honestly. It's wonderful. Some sent me the game all marked out, and it was just the most interesting thing you ever saw. Mr. Babb's so pleased. And he got a lot of joy and fun from it, and a very deep gratitude that people would care to take the time and do this for him. You know, people are mighty good. They wrote to me, and I'm sending his letters on. I called him up, and we talked about it. Thanks to the best people who live this side of the moon, the people of this Ozark country. The real people who know all the old lore and the games and the old songs and the stories and the authentic history of this pioneer country. Ah, they're the sugar in my coffee, believe me, the star in my lily pool and the summer rain on the roof of my cabin. Thank you. I'll drop you all a line, too. Someone sent me a column from an Arkansas paper that had a cute verse in it by Mrs. Cecil Ritchie of Nashville, Arkansas. She said, I'm the old lady from Pokeberry Town. I wear a poke bonnet and a polka dot gown. I can't dance the polka nor sing a sweet ballad, but I'm fond of wild onions and poke green salad. Also, I'm a backwoodser from Arkansas, the grandest state that you ever saw. Stay right in there, honey. You've really got something when you've got Arkansas. I agree with you. I'm for you. You know, they say Arkansas is the only state mentioned in the Bible. It says Noah looked out of the Arkansas land. He looked out of the Arkansas land. You know, this spring I think of the words of the immortal poet Elizabeth Barrett Browning. They keep coming to me. Earth's crammed with heaven and every bush of fire with God, but only he who sees takes off his shoes. You know, there are so many people who don't see beauty. Some people see beauty and they take off their shoes because they think they're standing on holy ground. There are people who don't see anything. You know, there were two prisoners in prison. They both used to stand wistfully and look out. One saw the bars and the other saw the stars. Carl Almy Wilson, who died a few years ago, was among the great dialect poets of this nation, according to my notion, also many others. She was a wonder. Born in the remote back country in a large, hard-working family, lived most of her life at the jumping-off place, the little town of Zinc, Arkansas. And she died at only about 60 in Harrison, Arkansas, just a few years ago. My, but she had a lyric pen. She could sing like a nightingale about anything of her life and her hills. For instance, like this old chap who says, "Oh, I got to get to the backwoods. I want to tote a gun and climb them hogback hilltops like I did when I was young. They ain't no satisfaction of sitting in a dusty town, awaiting here and a fretting to see life's sun go down. I want my own log cabin like I always had afore. I want to see the sunbeams a-spilling on the floor. Oh, take me back to the backwoods. I hate the dusty town, for I want a breath of mountain air before the sun goes down." God rest your wonderful soul, Coral. You had to work too hard and suffer too much trouble, and you died too young. And many a gourd head today fattens at 80 years old and hasn't enough brains to grease a gimlet. And you went down one of the greatest. I used to recite her poems for men's clubs and women's clubs in St. Louis, and they nearly ran me ragged. And they'd say, I'd get word from over in Illinois, "Come over tonight and give us some of Coral Almy Wilson, the Arkansas woman who sang of the backwoods." I think I'll have time just for this, and I'll quit. She said, "The fella, you know, the war was on," and I used to tell him I was like this old fella left home, and went to the city, and he wrote home and said, "Lift up the latch and let me in. I'm a-coming away from where I've been. Shake out the sand can over the floor. Set me a chair right up by the door where I can spit my tobacco through that old knot hole like I used to do. Make me a pallet that ain't too thin, for I'm a-coming away from where I've been. Why, the lights are so bright of this plague-taken town, it's lighter than it was before the sun went down. The whistles screech and toot and mourn like an old hound that stepped on a locust thorn. They ain't no peace to be had nowhere. You can't even get a breath of air. So you all spread out and let me in. I'm a-coming away from where I've been. Goodbye. We'll see you next Saturday. Lord willing, the creek don't rise.